Hey, if you brought your Bibles this morning, or your Bibles this morning, turn to or tap the Bible app over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 27 and read a few verses down. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36 is where we're going to go. Let's dig into this scripture. We got them for you on the screen. We got them for you in the app if you're following along with us in the message. And it says this: "But to you who are listening," somebody say, "I'm listening." "I say," and this is Jesus talking, "love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." How many are already hating this verse? Amen. "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, strangle them with the shirt." No, it doesn't say that. "Do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Whew, let's pray. God, that is wild. But that's your word, and we thank you for your word. And God, we just pray that it makes its way past our ears into our hearts, God, into our lives and habits. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Wow. That is an insane portion of scripture right there that we just read. How many would agree with that? It's one of the most extreme teachings that Jesus ever gave in the context of the display we are to have to the world around us. So we're in week number 2 and of our series, Happy New You, built right here at the beginning of a new year to see you reach the goals and the resolutions and the desires and the dreams that you have deep within your heart to see accomplished this year. And the major goal to this series is equipping you with truth points that will serve to help you get to those dreams and resolutions and goals and destinies inside of your heart. And last week we talked about 3 important things to accomplishing the goals that are inside of your heart. And this first one here is faith, support, and a plan. We dug into the scripture with the man on the mat that got to his miracle. What was it that got him there? What was the vehicle that drove him to his miracle? It was faith. It was wrapping faith around that goal. It was wrapping faith around that desire. It was wrapping support. How many know he wasn't alone? He had a team. If you want to accomplish a dream, you need a dream team. He had a support around that goal and desire and resolution. And he had a plan. He had a plan to get there. If you missed last week, check out the podcast. It will surely be a blessing. But I want to go a little bit further this morning. I want to go a little bit more sub-level, in that there are some other truth points that God's word reveals we must embrace in order for us, you and I, to see God's hand at work in our lives for us to reach those goals. And one of those truth points is found in the scripture we just read. When I read, or when I read, that seemingly extreme portion of scripture, I see an overall point that Christ is trying to make, in that we cannot, as believers, be people that live offended, that get offended and show offense or hold on to that offense against others. Christ is going after our reactions in the verse we just read, is he not? I mean, look at what he's saying and how he's saying we should react. Right? Verse 27 says, when you find that you have an enemy. I mean, no, it's kind of discouraging when you find out that you have an enemy. He's saying when you know you have an enemy, the moment you know it, what should our reaction be? Love them. Or you just found out somebody hates you or somebody has displayed hate to you. What should your response be? Do good to them. Somebody's just cursed you. How many just love getting cursed? How many love it when somebody just says to you? What should your response be? Jesus says, find a way to bless them. The moment you're hearing the cursing, you're thinking of how you can be a blessing. What? You've just been mistreated. Jesus says, pray for them. Somebody slaps you on the cheek. God's word says our response. Can we get two people to enact this out? Two volunteers? Let's just see how much you love God this morning. You know what I mean? Think about that just for a second, though. I mean, in every single one of these scenarios, Christ is not giving us any room to be offended. In every single one of these scenarios, he isn't giving us any room to harbor bitterness or react in any way outside of the boundaries of the love he commands us to show the world around us. In very offensive situations, might I add. I mean, you just found out you got an enemy. You just were told and shown that someone has hate towards you. Somebody struck you. Somebody mistreated you. And it gives us no room. Here's a truth point right here, and it's these three words. Offense, bitterness, and unforgiveness are enemies to your 2017 goals. Offense, bitterness, and unforgiveness are enemies to your dreams. They are enemies to your resolutions. They're enemies. This right here is the enemy, not the people of whom you have or may have had offense, bitterness, and unforgiveness toward. Christ is saying that we are to be people who find no fight with flesh outside of our own. That we are not to battle people. That when we run into adversity or when we run into challenge or when we run into opportunity to get offended or to be bitter or to react wrong with someone, he is saying we must remember Ephesians 6:12 that we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. This isn't a natural battle here. Christ is saying this is a spiritual battle we fight. We don't fight people. We fight against. We spend our energy against evil rulers, Scripture says. Doesn't it say that? And authorities of the unseen world. Against these mighty powers in this invisible dark world. And against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Christ is saying we cannot afford the room, the space. We cannot afford the time to be hating another human being, no matter what they do or no matter what they did. We cannot afford the time to be dividing from one another, carrying issues with one another. Because Jesus is saying, if you pull the blanket off of what we cannot see and see into the spiritual, our enemy was not or ever is people. Our enemy is spiritual. And we all have a common enemy that can place influence on people to create problems. But Christ is saying, don't fight the people. Don't fight the person. Fight the influence behind the person. And I want to ask you a question here today. Are you a person of offense? Are you a person that is easily offended, in other words? Are you a person that is easily offended? Do you know what I mean when I say that? Like we all know that one person that you have to walk on eggshells when you're around them. Like if you bring up the wrong thing, you'll get the wrong reaction. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't look around. Amen. Right? If you say something that they don't agree with, if you do something they don't like, they'll let you know, and they'll let you know right away. They're the people you can't talk about politics with. They're the people you can't talk about religion with. They're the people you can't talk about controversial subjects with. You know what's sad is many of those type of people are Christians. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're one of those people. I remember I was at my wife loves a story, but some people just, they get offended like that, man. They can lose their, like that. And I remember I was pulling up when I lived in Ohio to a four-way stop. And there was no cars to my right or left, but the car coming toward me, we both arrived toward each other. We're facing each other. Does this make sense? At the four-way stop, and we both arrived at the same time. And this is in Pickerington, Ohio, and I remember we pulled up at the same time, and we both had our blinkers going toward the same road. And I did this. I go, which means what? Go ahead. And he goes... And so I go, no, I mean, after you. And I did that, and he goes, I just saw that hand. And I was like, I just did that. And he goes, you just start seeing his hand go like this. And I'm like, man, this dude's losing his mind. We're over who's being more courteous. I mean, his arm is swinging, like, come on. And I go, super nice. And this guy starts beating on his dashboard. Now he's pointing me to the road with two middle fingers, like, you go. You know? And I was like, you know, I did it again, just smiling, and he just peeled off. And I was like, wow, man, some people can really get offended over anything. You know what I'm saying? I want to say this. You will never get to a God goal living offended. People that live offended rarely, if ever, see happiness. People that live offended rarely, if ever, see progress in their life or in anything or in any relationship. When someone does something or when someone says something that upsets you, does that happen to anybody? Anybody in the room? Right? This can happen anywhere. This can happen at work. I mean, maybe that happened to you this past week. Somebody did something or said something to upset you, right? This can happen in marriage. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Amen. Sorry. This can happen at home. This can happen at church. This can happen in life. This can happen in the grocery store. This can happen at the drive-thru. This can happen at a four-way stop. When someone does something or says something that upsets you, our reaction is to be as Christ would react. Because I believe we so often undervalue the impact we have on people in the context of how we react to challenging people. This right here is quite a place. This is right 5 minutes north of downtown Columbus, Ohio. And it's called Shade Tree, and it's a warehouse I worked at in Ohio when I was in college. It's right there off of Bush Boulevard, and right behind all of this is like a big old warehouse. And I remember being in there working at Bible College. This is that place I told you last week. I was like, went to the bathroom and just took bathroom breaks just to preach at the sink, you know, like just visioning the ministry. And that was the only place where I felt peace in my heart. Because warehouses are, and I don't know how to say this, of the devil. I'll just say that. Amen. It's hard to love Jesus in a warehouse. Well, should I say this? It's hard to love people in a warehouse environment. And I remember once people know that you're a Christian, once people know, let alone that you're a Christian, but that you're a Bible college student out to go do ministry, people and life will test you. That call and that desire and that commitment. And I remember, man, they would go, they would bring the most disgusting situations to me just to try and get a wrong reaction out of my life. You know, anybody ever had that stuff, you know, where your faith is tested by the sarcasm of people and people that just want to come and do wrong? And I remember in that moment, I just would reach deep down in to try and get and summon every bit of strength that I had in my life to react right. Where people would test me, they would do things, you know, to try and just upset my life, get my wick lit, and I would never fall to it. I would react, and let me tell you, it was not easy. I wanted to punch every single one of them in their faces. I would envision how I punched them in their faces. It was just awesome when I closed my eyes and I just saw it, but I would react right on my display, and I remember it was about a year later. Somebody that worked at the warehouse told me that they had been watching me and how I had been acting and reacting to all the sarcasm and the pressure of people in the warehouse just trying to test my Christianity. He said it impacted them. He goes, you've never flipped your lid on them. You've never lost your temper with us. He goes, it's blown me away. He goes, I'm really going through something and I don't think any of them can help me. Maybe you could help me. Where do you go to church? And he came to church with me that next Sunday. Pastor gave an altar call at the service, and he came and got saved. I did his wedding after that. Still friends with him today, and they have a faith in their heart still. All because of reaction points. Think about it just for a moment. I'm here to love agape, right? You. I'm here to be an extension of the grace, the charis, and the mercy, the elios of God to your life and to the lives of those around me in hopes that it might impact you, grow you, save you, strengthen you. That's so extreme, that scripture. No room to be offended. People that live offended often drown in their own drama. And their goals drown with them. These are people who are easily angered. They have a short wicks. Even the psychological consequences of living offended are stress. You're probably a person that experiences great stress, has trust issues. People that often isolate themselves. Can I just tell you, God hasn't called us to be that. When Jesus said, turn the other cheek, think about that for a second. And there's a lot of historical teaching that I could go into, but let me summarize it. He's saying, be like a duck. Let the water roll off. Don't let the offense in past the skin. Don't let the offense in past the surface, because Christ knows, as our creator, he designed us, he knows what offense can do once it gets into the heart. Which leads me to my next question. Have you let the offense in past the surface? In other words, do you have bitterness? Or are you holding on to unforgiveness in your life toward someone right now? Because once offense is let in and we stammer and steam on it, it morphs, it turns into bitterness. It grows into unforgiveness. And that's my question. Do you have, not just are you easily offended, but do you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your life toward someone right now? And the reason I ask that is because there's great danger in that. And the great danger is found in Matthew chapter 6, 14 through 15, where he says this, for if you forgive others their trespasses, listen to this verse. your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow, think about this. How is it that the relationship I have with the forgiveness of God, the inflow of the forgiveness of God to my life, to my heart, to my sin, can be held up and can be dammed up by my forgiveness, or should I say, by the forgiveness I'm not willing to give other people? How is it that the forgiveness God has for my life can be dammed up by the forgiveness I'm not willing to give other people? Maybe because in saying, I choose not to forgive you, or I choose to hold on to the offense you've done to me, maybe that's an ultimate form of hypocrisy when we do that. To say, I'm forgiven and you're not. We must realize that offense and bitterness and unforgiveness are the enemy here, not the person that helped cause it. We got to overcome offense. We got to overcome bitterness. And we got to overcome unforgiveness from ever having a place in our life. And I want to give you real quickly four truth points on how to overcome offense, bitterness, and unforgiveness. How to be like a duck where the water just rolls off and it doesn't get in past the skin. Number one, it helps if you find, there it is right here. Find the pearl in every person, even if they smell like a clam on the outside, even if they look like a clam on the outside. Find the pearl in every person. What am I trying to say? Every person has value. And that value is on the inside of them. And that value is called their purpose, placed there by God. Every single person on this planet has a purpose in their life, placed there by God. And that's essentially what we're all going to be judged on in eternity. When we all pass away, we are going to stand before God's throne, and He's going to judge us on whether or not we did what He put us on this earth to do. And if somebody has an issue with me and I react wrong and fight back and stoop down to their level, what am I now doing? I'm being a blockade. I'm being a wall to their purpose. I'm to be a help to people's purposes. And my agape and my charis and my elios, my love, grace, and mercy that God has called me to show people, help open the doors to get people to those purposes. Our displays of God's love in our reactions, even in the moment of offense, is so important because I don't want to get in the way of taking them away from their purpose by reacting wrong and giving them a soured impression of what Christ does and what a Christ follower is. Even if they've soured me, I still have to be held accountable by how I react. Don't follow them to the judgment of God for being one of the reasons someone never reached their purpose. And don't worry about them. What about them? I mean, that's what our kids do when they're young. We have to live valuing others, regardless of whether or not they value us. Philippians 2:3, be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. Woo-wee! This is some harsh teaching, man. This is tough. This is convicting. But if you want to get to a God goal, we must know that His Word is the path that leads to the provision of those goals, of those resolutions, of those dreams and desires. Number two, how to overcome offense, how to overcome bitterness, especially in the moment, is to attempt with great effort to understand them. Man, if we would embrace the power of understanding, I believe that would nearly solve or should I say throw a blanket on every hot argument we've ever had. If we would just understand people. Many times, what I'm trying to say here is we hear what we want to hear. When the old adage goes, it helps to walk a mile in their shoes. And so if you ever find yourself in a situation where somebody is being offensive to you, somebody's showing hate or anger, or they're displaying negative feelings towards you, and maybe they're not saying it right. How many hate being talked to wrong, right? We all want to be valued in our conversations, but Christ is saying, listen, we can't get offended in this. So what do we do? How do we overcome that? It's just not going, I'm not going to do it, you know? But these are keys. Number one, find the value in every person. Know that the person that's talking to you has value. That helps. It psychologically helps. And number two, attempt to understand why it is they're acting like that. Attempt it. I had somebody yell at me when I was a youth pastor. Somebody that I knew and loved, and they were just talking to me wrong, man. It was like, let's go outside type of opportunity. I mean, it was just, some of you are like, Jesse, you really got some problems. I know I do, amen. But the way they were talking to me, it was like kind of hateful, and they were kind of devaluing me with their words, and instead of reacting wrong, I kind of went inside and prayed and kind of held on to this, like, why is it that they're acting like this? And I just listened to what they were saying, because what they were saying was just talking, breaking me down, and it was wild. And I remember just asking them after they were done with their vent session, I go, "Are you okay? Is everything okay? What are you talking about?" I'm like, "This isn't you. This isn't usually you. You never come in and say this or act like this, or you know, you never vent like you, this isn't you. What's going on?" And I'll never forget the response. "I'm sorry. I hate my job. I hate my marriage. I hate my life. And I need somebody to blame." Anybody ever done that before? Tank anger out on those who are closest to you just because they're there. Man, I've done that. Doesn't justify it, but if I would have reacted wrong, the situation would have escalated. But I had to react right, and the situation de-escalated to a point where we could get to the person's need. Our reactions are so important. And it's important that we attempt with great effort to understand what is the chaos going on in the head of the person that is showing me the offense. Our reactions are so important, not only for their sake, but for ours. Again, your goals and dreams are on the line. Number three, pray for them. I've said this many times here, and I'll continue to. It's hard to hate someone you're praying for. Let me say it louder. It's hard to hate someone you're praying for. Right? I mean, if I hate somebody, I need to pray for that somebody so I can stop hating that somebody. And it is hard to hate him when you pray, according to the scriptures, right? God, bless them. Bless their life. Show them your love and show them your mercy. Show them. Just in saying those words, those feelings of hate start to melt. Show them your kindness. God, reach into the depths of who they are. And I pray their purpose be pulled out. And use me in whatever way you can so that they would see that purpose. Bless them, Lord. In spite of them, bless them. It's hard to hate when you're saying stuff like that in a prayer closet. Come on, somebody. Let's live this year out with no offense. Let's live this year out with no bitterness. Let's live this year out forgiving. Let's live this year out doing whatever we got to do to shake off the negativity from having a hold on your life. Let's be like Bob Ross. Remember Bob Ross? Channel 9? What would he say? Happy little trees, happy little trees. You know why he said that? You know the story of Bob Ross? He served in the military. He's a master sergeant. Master sergeant. He was the guy that would scream at you. I mean, he said, I was known for screaming. I would scream at you for breakfast. I'd scream at you about your bed. He goes, you wouldn't believe the hate I had and the anger I had for people, to his own admission. Bob Ross. And he said when he got out of the military, he resolved that he would never do that again. And he needed to feed hobbies and happy things into his life to steer the course of his life to not be that to the world around him, because the world around him wasn't underneath his rank anymore. He had to show love. And so what did he do? He painted. And he says every time he would say happy little trees, he said some of the angered feelings would just melt. Now you know that, channel 9. More you know. Da-na-na-na, even though that's channel 5. Amen. Think about this. Happy little trees. See, do whatever you got to do, man, to feed your abilities to react right, even if it's painting happy little trees. Some of you are going to take up painting after this. Amen. You got to forgive them. No forgiveness, no goals. So here we go. Let's close our talk here today. Let's not just be hearers, let's be doers. So here's where we put the pedal to the metal. You got cards when you came in your seats, and I want you to grab those cards if you would right now. And if you need a card, raise your hand. We've got ushers that will get you a card in case we don't have enough. Raise your hands high so they can see a card. Hands all over the place. We might need a couple of you guys. Thank you so much, ushers. Ushers are a great team. Over here, keep your hand up. If you need a card, slip your hand up. Keep your hand up until you get it. Got some hands in the back there. There's a packed house in this service. Amen. That's a good problem to have. I tell you, we broke an attendance record on our Christmas Eve. We have 320 chairs in this room, and there was 310 people in the 5 p.m. service. 310 people in here. There was only 10 empty seats. That means people were really spending Christmas close with the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. It was a great, great thing to have. Now, if you need a pen, raise your hand, and because we're going to write on these cards, and they're giving you pens right now. There we go. Thank you so much, guys. Everybody say thank you, ushers. They don't do it for our thank yous, but man, they are certainly worthy of them. So here's what we're going to do. Your card says your plan, your plan. I mean, no, it's important to have a dream, but if you don't have a plan to that dream's not going to happen. We got to write down what it is that God has called us to do to get to those dreams. And like I said, one of those things is to eliminate offense and bitterness and unforgiveness. And how do we do that? We got to release that forgiveness out to people. And so on the back of your card, as you can see, this is kind of what the back of your card looks like from a sideways point of view. Flip that over, Micah, if you would. You know, and this is what I want you to do. We're going to turn this up, and I'm going to give you kind of what this looks like on the top. Go to the next slide, if you would, buddy. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to write your name. I want you to write your name there. I want you to write today's date. And in the context of what we're talking about today, God's called us to make amends. God's called us to forgive. And I don't want anybody to think that this is just examples. So if your name is Bob, Dave, or Jack, it's not you. Amen. Like, what? But it's just an example. But this is kind of what your card should look like at the top. Right here is just, who is it that God is calling you to forgive? And if you have bitterness toward them, that's the person. Hear me when I say this. Forgiveness is necessary to reach a dream. Forgiveness is not only required from you, but it's required from you in order for it to be given to you. Think about that for a moment. So I want you to take just a couple of moments right here in this time with that pen and just write down the names of people. So somebody in this room needs to write down yourself. People that have wronged you or people that you have wronged. And I think some people are sitting here just struggling with guilt. You need to forgive you. Just begin to write those names down right here in this moment. I'll give you just a second. Now, some of you may be in this room and you literally don't have anybody to write down, and that's awesome. You got that freedom. Some of you got to write so small, you got to have enough room to fill the page up. Amen. And no matter where you're at in this place, just write them down. God, right now, I just pray you start bringing to their consciousness, to the forefront of their mind, just who it is. God, who it is that needs to be forgiven. Who needs to receive forgiveness from their life? Who in their life have they wronged that need to be sought out for forgiveness? Just begin to put those names down now. Give you just 5 seconds. All right, now I want to ask you to do something difficult. And that's this. I want you to fold that over. I want you to rip that top part off. We've got it perforated here, so it should make it super easy. And I want to ask you to do something really difficult with this, and that's to let us have it. And not for us to spread it around, we're not going to do that, but at the baskets on the way out the door, which will be posted at every door, I want you to drop this card in the basket and just let us stand with you and pray with you. And by us, I mean just my wife and I and our staff team, and that is it. This isn't released out. We're very, very proud of the confidentiality that we hold from within our office concerning the needs that are given to us, trusted in us to pray with them and believe with them. So even if you filled one of these out last week, all that's going to happen is it's going to be placed right behind it. And we're just going to pray every single day this year for the strength in your life to be able to do this right here, to be able to forgive them, to be able to find the times and opportunities to forgive them or ask and seek out forgiveness of people maybe you've wronged in your life. We've all done that. And what I want you to do with this part right here is take this home. And if you would, just go to the next slide, Mike. This is kind of what this needs to look like is, you know, this is what God has shown you the goal is, but what's his plan for you to get there? And his plan, what is his plan for Jesse making amends with Bob, Dave, and Jack, who maybe I just have issues with? Underneath that is space that's blank, and I want you just to allow God to lead you right here in this space. By just sharing with you what you need to do, because maybe he's going to tell you need to call Bob. You need to go take Dave out for coffee. And you need to write a letter to Jack and just break the mold here and bring forgiveness into the relationship. Now, I'm not telling you every relationship here is going to be restored and resurrected. Some people, and this process isn't going to be what we call easy street. Because how many know they're not in this service with you, most likely. And so they're not going to be coming out of the presence of God ready to feel good about everything that's happened. And I'm not asking you to feel good about everything that's happened. But I'm telling you here, your dream depends on it, and you're not going to get there with the bitterness that you have in your life against those people. And you've got to let it go and forgive to get there. You got to let it go so you can go. Somebody say a good amen there. That's good preaching right there. Amen. And you can't fill this out here in this service. This needs to be quiet times in the days to come. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to get there? And on December 31st, it's very interesting that December 31st is a Sunday this year. And January 1st is a Sunday. The first day of the year is a Sunday. The last day of the year is a Sunday. And on Sunday, December 31st, we're going to give these cards back to you to not only be a reminder of what it is that God told you to do, but our prayer is that it will be something that you celebrated that you did. And to know that's coming back is a source of accountability in itself. Amen. And I'm even going to take all these up on a mountain with me in Arizona next month and just pray on your behalf, because it's a journey to see our dreams fulfilled and to climb over the obstacles that stand in the way of making it happen. So, amen. Like I said, this process is an easy street. But man, I'm telling you, it is so, so important. Let's stand to our feet. How many learned something today? Amen. Man, I learned something today. I pray that you know how much we love you, how much we're standing with you, how much we believe in you. I want to ask our communion teams that they would to come, and our deacons that are available for prayer here at the corners of these altars, if they would just begin to take those spots. But I'm going to have our ushers dismiss row by row from the back to the front for communion. And Journey Church, just know we are praying for you. Next Sunday is going to be, wow, it's going to be an enlightening talk. I look forward to it. We can squeeze any more in here. Invite somebody. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for who you are. God, I thank you for what we get to do this year. And God,